Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 132, part 1, Our Trials and Our Divine Deliverances. Today is Friday, February 5th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, you can call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. And you can also leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion. You can do that at Pastor Paul's blog, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. At the blog, you're going to find scripture links within Pastor Paul's show notes for each podcast. So be sure to go there to check out the scripture links. Be sure to join us part one on Friday and part two on Sunday, the conclusion of Pastor Paul's messages. So for the month of February, the lineup is this: Our Trials and Our Divine Deliverances, Seeing and Telling, We Are Hard Cases, and The Waters Will Be Watered. So have a fantastic month of February. Happy Valentine's Day. God bless you.
Today's message is entitled, Our Trials and Our Divine Deliverances. I think we are in a time of many, many trials. I think the body of Christ is being tried. I know the body of Christ is being tested. I see a whole lot are going to go out seeking peace in places other than in God. They might even go to another camp. God says, come out of the camp. Some come out of a camp and go into another camp, another church. And they go over there. Here I am. The people say, uh-huh. Okay, here's our doctrine. Sit down and start singing. We're going to have a great time here. They get bored there and they go to another place and they can find no peace. Psalm 77 and 1 and also then verse 20. Verse 1 then, I cried unto the Lord in verse 20, Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This psalm here then describes the condition of the child of God under deep depression of spirit. I'm sure that you've all been there. Anyway, the psalmist here is under a very heavy load. I mean, he is bowed down low. You ever been bowed down low? And yet, in verse 20, the saint gets the victory, and before the psalm is over, the clouds are removed. Then the heart rejoices then and in the divine love, and I believe we as believers also have our ups and downs. Maybe you're in a whoop or a whoop. Or maybe you're in between. Maybe you're holding your own. Maybe you're in limbo between the two and you're struggling to get up, but you're going down. Maybe somebody's helping you go down. But don't we have, as believers, ups and downs? Don't we? Aren't we like the weather a lot of times? We have warm breezes some days, and then we have north winds. Sometimes we have them one day. Fair or cloudy, or still or stormy. But I believe some believers have all the spiritual weathers in one week. Extreme highs and extreme lows. You listening on the radio out there that are depressed out of your mind, listen to this message. Well, you're halfway in and you're halfway out. It's like you're wearing a flannel shirt and a bikini. Monday, you're in Florida, and Tuesday, you're in the North Pole. One day, we see you in a parka, and the next day, we see you in a swimsuit. Maybe you, by nature, are that one that's excitable, perhaps naturally. And you take wing very easily, and that's great. I think the people that take wing very easily, that's great. You get on high. Soaring out of sight. But Tuesday, here you come. A sore sight. What happened to you? Feathers are all bent. I don't know. Beak all crooked. Feathers all ruffled up. What happened to you? I was flying high, man, and all of a sudden I crashed. I was having so much fun, I was flying around and I ran into the cross. Many times, a great high flight is followed by a fall. My days as an evangelist, when I would go out and minister to multitudes, I'd have that high time. And I would go and I would crash, take off my shoes in the motel and look at the wall and this face fall. But I couldn't explain it, but that I knew what it was. It was like Don's guitar there was strung up and I was keyed up and ready to go and making the sounds come out all right. But then there had to come a time of relaxing. My strings were all boom, you know. There's got to be that time. And I believe this is not uncommon to the very seasoned Christians, that we suffer very dark experiences, we attain, and then comes the rain. We either feel God all over or wonder if we really knew Him at all. We are either surrounded by flowers or by dunghills. And in our walk, it's always uphill and downhill, all the way to heaven. All the way to heaven, it's, whoa, you're going uphill and then, ooh, downhill and uphill and downhill. Well, it all takes effort. Did you ever try to go downhill gracefully so no one knew you were going downhill? Can't happen. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, or a Jack and Jill, whatever. But it's just as hard walking uphill, isn't it? It's only when you get to the very peak, that 30-second high. Well, in the world, they have a 30-second high. It's that, I call it the two martini high, and they, whoop, there they are. And the next sip, it's all the way downhill, baby. All the way to grabbing a hold of the bowl as your friend and puking it all out. Is that flowery enough for you? But anyway, like the children of Israel, our path to Canaan lies through a wilderness. You gotta go through something to attain. And that's the part we don't like to talk about. We like to claim it isn't there. We like to take a picture out in the desert and paint this great big scene out there, this big oasis out there, sort of like a mirage. We want it so bad and we're so thirsty for it that we see a mirage and we run towards it and we get up there and it's gone. All there is out there is a blistering sand and heat and lizards and cactus. And even though at times God's grace has caused the wilderness to bloom, it still has many cactuses and sand traps and I believe serpents to contend with. And after all, you know, it is a wilderness. This world is by no means heaven. This world is bondage. Are you looking for heaven here? You ain't going to find it. Are you looking for heaven? The kingdom of God is within you. That's the all of heaven you're going to find. You won't find it out there in a person. Are you heaven? Can you bring me to heaven? Can you bring me to heaven? Oh, that looks like a nice person. Sir, just a minute. I don't want to bother you. But can you show me the way to heaven? The way to heaven is uphill and downhill and over hill and over dale. We'll hit the dusty trail while the caissons go rolling along. Over hill, over dale, we will hit the dusty trail while those caissons go rolling along. Huh? They ain't half bad if you start singing and drowned out all the devils with the drums. Kind of fun. Even if your medals are dung throwings and spit. And that's what there will be, especially during the end. No, you're only going to get little glimpses of heaven here. The world has a song. Have you ever seen a dream walking? Well, I have. Have you ever seen a dream talking? Well, I have. Until he marries her. Or she marries him. Have you ever lived with a nightmare? Well, I have. Have you ever heard a nightmare talking? Well, I have. Now, that's reality. Now, maybe it's not spiritual enough for you. Maybe you're sitting there all depressed and down and blue and gateway mouth down. But I'll tell you what I'm preaching here today will set you free if you'll listen. And don't get all bound up. Or more bound up than we can get. It says in the Bible, we that are in the body do groan, being burdened. Well, carrying this body around is a burden. You know, when I found that out, I hadn't been in the church for a while. I was busy in St. Paul and going all over and trying to get this thing going. And I guess what? Was it 6 weeks, 2 months? I don't know. I lost track of time. And I had lost all that flesh, and I started running up these stairs. And I thought, well, you know, these stairs feel different. And the Lord spoke to me, he says, because you lost part of your body. Lose your life to gain your life. Now today I will only be able to describe as deep as I have gone. Now, well, how deep have you gone? I'm as low as low can go. I'm sub-low. Low. You know what I mean? Low plus. Multiplied times 20. Well, I've been to hell and back. Is that low enough, or do you want to see some of the burns? Like people like to show their scars, you know. Oh, I had this operation, and, And so today, number one, the child of God may undergo great spiritual trials. Secondly, then, we'll look at, we shall ask you to consider the conduct of a child of God, then when... in that condition, I believe very different than that of a worldly man. Number three, we shall notice those springs of comfort which will revive the saints, and that spirit will revive us also. Always. So then going on, number one, the true child of God may undergo very deep and mental spiritual trials. Mental harassment. You know what that is? Not superficial trials, such that are common to man, like somebody saying, oh, shut up, or like that. No, I'm not talking about that. But really overwhelming trials. When you're engulfed, gut floppers, I call them, when your guts turn over. Wheezy kneesers, when your knees get wheezy and weak. Huh? Total. I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of this depression. Did you ever try to smile when you're depressed? It doesn't come off. Doesn't come off. And I believe these kinds seem to be very common to the very favorite of heaven. The psalmist's trial was no light one. It was a great grief that came upon him. As I read the psalm, it took on two things to me. One, it looked like he was suffering from a personal disease in one place, but yet in another place, like a deep affliction had come upon his family that he loved ever so dearly. That's hard, isn't it, when someone in your family is suffering? But anyway, this caused him to be depressed in spirit and heavy in his soul. He describes it as sort of a sore that ran all night, and he said, ceased not. And he complained that his spirit was overwhelmed. Have you ever felt that way for yourself? Or worse, for someone you love dearly and you can't sleep? And it's like a sore that's running all night long. And you say, oh my God, give that person peace. Give that person that I love peace. I have no joy. And your concern for them made you ache all night long. Never then conclude that because you've lost your joy that God has left you. Hasn't got a thing to do with it. Beware, I say, of living by your feelings. feelings. Feelings like I never had before. All feelings. Hasn't got a single solitary thing to do with it. No, 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 no. Because our feelings are fickle, aren't they? Are you hearing this message today? Anyway, if your joy is the evidence, you're in trouble. You may cry out over and over and over again, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, I cried that out once. No, you're going to cry it out again. Because I believe between here and the very gates of heaven, you will have to go by the weeping cross many, many times in your life because of circumstances that will come into it. And if the Lord then loves you more than others, you will have more trials than others. Well, how come? Because His love will bear you up. Strange trials will come upon you. Therefore, regard it not as though some strange thing has happened to you and you alone. I believe some of the very best of God's people may pass through the very deepest troubles and the very darkest times. But also, this may not only be very, very deep, but very, very frequent. Are you listening to me, man of God, and or wife, or leader of some kind, or person out there in the work field, or someone God is using, and affliction after affliction comes your way, and it seems like every dark thing passes your way? Well, it's the love of God. Oh, I don't believe that. I think it's the devil. No, the devil can only do what God allows him to do. Ask Job. Ask Paul. Ask Peter. Ask Jesus. Strange trials will come your way. It also is the same here with the psalmist. Night and day he said he had trouble. 40 days and nights his soul felt no rest. Sort of like Jesus. And don't wonder then if sometimes you fall into that very same condition yourself. I pray you don't. But then if you do, don't wipe out and condemn yourself. So many condemn themselves. Ugh. I condemn myself. I condemn myself. And then when they start to condemn themselves, that which is in their heart, they start to give out and they condemn others. Condemnation to yourself wipes you out, and then on the uphill swing, with a push from the very legal spirit, you start to condemn other people because you're condemned yourself, and you can only preach that which you have received to yourself. And you'll see a lot of books coming out in the very end time from frustrated preachers that are saying, I am fed up with people. Do this and do that or go to hell. Well, there's warnings. But there is never a condemnation to a Christian. Now you mark it down. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, no, none. Now that's the message. I can't preach any other message. If I preach some other kind of message, I'm a liar. Well, you know that within yourselves, don't you? How easily that we are condemned? And I'm not talking about a guilt. I think there's a redemptive guilt. I think you should have a guilt, but that you shouldn't sit there and just fry yourself in it. And try to continually work your way out. Let God work it out. Oh, you remember Job's holy friends? Here's Job, he's sitting on a great big dunghill. It says he was scraping off his scabs with a pot, or one of those scrapers. Scraping off his sores. And his friends come along and they tell him like this, "You must be a hypocrite or you wouldn't be here. Look at ya, what'd you do? Huh?" Well, they had to add insult to injury. "What's wrong with you? Sitting up there on that big old dunghill up there scraping them scabs off. Yuck! Sickening. What'd you do? You're a hypocrite. We knew it all along." And that's exactly what the devil will tell you. "What are you doing up there sitting on that dunghill or them sores that are running all the time, you hypocrite? What'd you do?" But if you are sitting on a dunghill with deep trials too, I am afraid many of your Christian friends will say the same. Guess where I seen Jim? I'm just using you, Jim. You won't believe it. He was sitting on top of the biggest dunghill that I ever seen in the whole of my life. Tisk, 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 tisko. Yep. And you know what he was doing? No, what? Scraping off sores. He's a hypocrite. I knew it. I knew it. Always acting like Mr. Goody Two Shoes. Sure, hypocrite. Isn't that the way we do it? And we elevate ourselves by looking at someone else on a dunghill. Have you ever seen a dunghill walking? Well, I have. And here is a walking dunghill judging someone that is sitting on one. Not by his own choice. However, Christians, if you're listening, it'd be very ungenerous of you and very unchristian of you, unchristlike, if you at that time, when this person is going through this heavy mental depression, for you to come up with some kind of a religious lips and lay a trip on them. They don't need it. They're already on a trip. But worst of all, you sitting upon the dunghill may think the very same thing of yourself. God, they're right. Here I am. Me. God. Mr. Spiritual, a favorite of God's. Oh. They're right. I know they are. I hate myself. Well, that's a beginning. Isn't it? That's a beginning, and then you got to go to Scripture and say, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You have to pray to get down off the dunghill. You may even cry out, "Oh God, what's wrong with me?" But let my warning today help you. Keep you from such a temptation. This is no evidence, none whatsoever, that God has no love for you. It has nothing to do with it, for it says his love endureth forever. And it also says he chastens those that he loves. Doesn't it also say in the Bible that our Lord was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? How many are hearing this? See, God's love goes beyond your feelings. It goes beyond your sin. It goes beyond your understanding. It said love covers a multitude of sins. But I believe some of God's very best servants have been in the deeps for long periods of time. You listening on the radio, used of God, you've been in the deeps for a long, long time, long periods of time. But in this condition, you refuse to be comforted. Refuse to be comforted. Read the second verse. My soul refused to be comforted. Did you ever try to comfort a kid that don't want to be comforted? Won't be? Did you ever try to comfort a girlfriend that wouldn't be comforted? Did you ever try to comfort a girl that's been jilted? Or a boy that's been jilted? And you try to comfort them with the Word of God and with, here, have a malted milk. Have a piece of mom's apple pie. I'm old guy, how's that? And you put scripture with it and you do everything with it and nothing works. He refuses to be comforted. And here we have the psalm writer. A cheer-upper of others. Who says, I don't care what I've written. It's not for me. Have you ever said that, preacher? I have. I don't care what I've preached. That's not for me. I don't want no comfort. I can't have no comfort. I don't deserve no comfort. Is that not so, you advanced Christians? You that know the promises of God, all 7,000 plus, when presented to you, say, no, they are not for me. Well, sometimes pride enters in, and because of situations and everything, you can't be comforted because your pride gets in the way. You've been found out. You're not as strong as you thought you were. And people found out. And so pride gets in the way. Oh, God. And you give script. I can't receive it. Leave me alone, will you? Well, it's not funny, really, but it's where we're at, isn't it? Someone comes to your house and they find you this spiritual, monumental man or woman of God, and they hear you, shut up, Charlie! But sometimes these depressions come on, you don't even know where they come from. They come like a dark cloud. See, they're hunting for someone to drop on. And you're all waiting for the cloud to drop on you, huh? Now you're happy, aren't you? It's okay if it drops on me, right? Oh, he can take it. He's a man of God. It's all right, as long as it don't drop on me. So I'm all depressed and I'm all down. What's wrong with Pastor Paul? Man, he's sure looking weird. Did you notice that funny-looking cloud? It's over the top of his head, Is some rain coming out of it? Hey, maybe this guy ain't like we thought he was. Well, don't the world have it? They say that every cloud has a silver lining. Isn't the lining that's part that's next to you? But at the time, we can't receive anything because that dark cloud is hanging over. And we just can't receive them. Now, I'm not saying this is all bad, but don't carry it too far. I have visited mental institutions when people have carried this thing too far, and they have cracked. And they're walking, quoting scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And these people in there that are in the world taking care of them say, yeah, it's one of them religious nuts. Because they got into some kind of legalism on their own, or maybe somebody came on them real heavy. You know, when they play that organ music, boom, 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 boom. Huh? Well, Don, your guitar might not be real religious, but I'll take it over that organ any old time. Besides, it costs a lot less. What a waste of money, $150,000, $250,000 for a pipe organ. We can buy one of Don's guitars there for about $50. Oh, is that too much? He's going up. Oh, 65, he says. I don't want you to get puffed up, Don. But it's not all bad, but if you carry it on and on and on, and you say to yourself, not until Jesus speaks to me, not until he speaks to me will I have peace. But see, you legalize, Jesus is coming to you. And you probably couldn't receive from him even yet. Because you're in this deep, dark depression, see? Now you set yourself up for the devil and you start to condemn yourself. Now listen to me. You may be out in St. Peter. I send tapes out there. I see people freed by the power of God and by the truth. There is nothing different between me and you out there in St. Peter, or you sitting out there in the prison, or you out there wherever you are. No difference between me and you. The only difference is that probably I haven't confessed it. And before the grace of God, there goes I. And I've learned a few things by being to hell and back again. That these things will come your way. And don't you condemn yourself when you're in this state. And don't you let your brain work overtime. You'll make yourself sick. And people will say, hey, he or she is sick. Did you notice how sick she looks? She looks sick. Huh? Is anybody hearing this message? Now you commit the sin by condemning yourself. Oh, there isn't an unpardonable sin. Not receiving the full forgiveness, Jesus Christ, for all your sins. That's the unpardonable sin. You can't be pardoned if you won't receive pardon. Pardon me. And then now the accuser comes in. You have failed. Been keeping tabs on you. Whoops, made a mistake there. Head down here, you were miserable. You are low down and miserable. Then you start to believe it. Then you start to pull back away from people, see? And you sort of get kind of weird. Are you listening on the radio? Yeah, come on now, because I'm dealing with you folks all the time and your phone calls. I've been through it, and you get kind of weird, and you kind of recluse out. Some of you even go to the extreme, and the doorbell rings. Tell them mommy's not here. So the kid goes to the door. My mommy told me to tell you she wasn't here. Now, maybe some of you don't do that, but you feel like doing that. You feel like hiding. You feel like putting a blanket over yourself. I'm not here.
So if you tell a tale.